Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, raising a happy and confident dog, including nipping, puppy biting in the bud, and what kind of music does your pet like? You might be surprised at what the MP3 project discovered. Dr. Karen Becker at healthypets.mercola.com explains how to raise a puppy to be a confident, balanced dog. Tips to avoid behavior problems with a new puppy. Bring your puppy to the vet as soon as possible for an examination. A sick pup won't adjust well to his new environment, even if the illness is minor. It's also hard to gauge a new dog's real temperament and personality if he's feeling under the weather. Crate train your puppy. It's much easier to housebreak and supervise a crate trained puppy. Dogs are natural den dwellers, so if you make all your new pet's crate experiences positive ones, he'll quickly come to view it as his bedroom in his own quiet, safe space. Make sure your new puppy gets plenty of rest and quiet time in her crate or another enclosed, safe area of your home. Puppies are babies and require lots of sleep. In addition, your new pup needs to learn to be alone and not to expect constant attention from human family members. Socialize and train your puppy. In order to create a balanced, well-behaved adult dog, puppy owners must be extremely conscientious about socializing and training. There is nothing more important in raising a healthy, well-adjusted dog than ensuring she is thoroughly socialized and receives basic obedience training at a minimum. Dr. Becker says, for most dog lovers, there's nothing quite as exciting as welcoming a new puppy to the family. What many people don't realize or tend to forget, however, is molding that bundle of adorable energy into a good canine citizen requires a considerable investment of time and energy. First things first, get your new pet to the vet. Regardless of where you acquired your new puppy, whether from a shelter, a breeder, or some other source, you should make immediate arrangements for a veterinary exam. In fact, I recommend you make that all-important first vet appointment as part of your preparation before bringing a new pet home. If you don't already have a veterinarian in mind, you should give the subject some thought ahead of time. Choosing the best vet for your pet requires research. You want to ensure the DVM, or Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, you select has a practice philosophy that meets your needs and goals as a pet owner. There are vets who practice strictly traditional Western veterinary medicine. There are holistic veterinarians, and there are DVMs who combine allopathic veterinary medicine and alternative therapies to treat their patients. You'll probably also want to visit some prospective vet practices to get a feel for both the facility and the staff. It's good to know ahead of time what services a vet clinic does and does not offer, as well as the average fees charged for exams and tests. Does the staff seem competent and caring? Is the facility well organized and clean? Ideally, your pet will have a lifelong relationship with the vet practice you choose. Your veterinarian should take a proactive approach to keeping his or her patients healthy and should encourage you to bring your new furry family member in for regular wellness exams. Bring a quarter-sized stool specimen in a plastic baggie with you when you go. Your vet will check your pup for internal parasites from that. The key to a confident canine? Crate training. Contrary to what some dog owners seem to believe, a crate is not an unnatural environment for a canine. Your puppy is a den dweller by nature. If he lived in the wild, he would be driven to find a small, dark, out-of-the-way spot to call his own. A puppy in a new home will exhibit similar behavior to a dog in the wild. He'll try to find a den to tuck himself into. You might find him napping under a table or chair, for example. If you purchased a crate, ahead of time, and it's there when your puppy comes home. As long as he hasn't had a bad experience with confinement in the past, it will be a snap in most cases to get him acclimated to his little den. Draping a blanket or other fabric over the back half of the crate creates a dark, den-like environment which your pup will gravitate to. Supplying your puppy with a crate of his own appeals not only to his den-dwelling instincts, but it can also help tremendously with housebreaking. Puppies are programmed by nature not to soil their dens. Now, that doesn't mean the little guy can hold it indefinitely, but if you're providing frequent, consistent potty trips outside, chances are he'll wait until he's in the right place to relieve himself. Never force your dog into or out of a crate. Keep it positive. Forcing your puppy into her crate can create an aversion to it. Likewise, you never want to force, pull, yank, or shake her out of her crate, because then her secure little den can start to feel unsafe to her, defeating the whole purpose of crate training. Everything about your puppy's crate should be positive from her viewpoint. Put treats in the crate. Also, chew toys, dental bones, and treat release puzzles. Even after your dog is using her crate regularly, continue to make it an enticing place for her with treats, toys, and other items she values. The goal is to have your puppy voluntarily go into her crate, both on her own and when you ask her to. Helping your puppy be okay alone. As difficult as it can be to leave your adorable, playful, attention-seeking puppy alone, it's a routine you should establish early on. Not only do puppies and young dogs need lots of rest and quiet time, they also need to learn that being alone for short periods of time is nothing to worry about. This is another reason why crate training is so valuable. A dog accustomed to spending time alone in his own bedroom, even when you are home, is much less likely to develop separation anxiety or other phobias or panic disorders. Putting your pup in his crate or otherwise removing him from the action for a nap or some quiet time also helps him learn not to expect constant attention from his human family members. This strategy, coupled with basic obedience training, will set the stage for a secure, balanced adult dog that is pleasant to be around. Socialization, the secret to a sensational dog. Unfortunately, there are many dog owners who remain clueless about the critical importance of socialization for puppies. A puppy cannot be socialized by staying inside the house or the backyard. She can't be socialized by the occasional ride in the car or walk down the street or visit to the dog park. The presence of other dogs in the family doesn't mean your puppy is being socialized. Proper socialization requires exposing your puppy to as many new people, animals, environments, and other stimuli as possible without overwhelming him. Overstimulation can result in excessive fear, withdrawal, or avoidance behavior. So knowing how much is enough is important. Well-socialized dogs are handled from birth and learn to accept touching of all body parts. They are exposed to as many people, other animals, places, and situations as possible, encouraged to explore and investigate their environment, allowed to experience a variety of toys and games, surfaces, and other stimuli, and are brought along often on car rides to new environments with their owners. It's extremely important to socialize your pup during the first 3 months of life before she's 14 to 16 weeks of age. That is a period when sociability outweighs fear, and her brain is primed to accept new experiences. What your puppy is exposed to during this critical time in her development will mold her behavior, character, and temperament for the rest of her life. Puppies that aren't socialized during their first 3 months are at dramatically increased risk for behavior problems like aggression, fear, and avoidance. Dogs with problems stemming from lack of early socialization fill animal shelters and rescue facilities in every city and state across the country. Don't allow your precious little bundle of love and energy to grow into an unmanageable, unhappy adult dog banished to the backyard or the local animal shelter. Make sure your puppy is adequately socialized and trained in basic obedience. Take advantage of organized puppy classes and puppy play groups. Find opportunities for her to interact with other people and animals. Expose her to unfamiliar sights, sounds, and smells. Bathe, groom, and handle her routinely. Make growing to adulthood a positive experience in every way for your pup. You'll be richly rewarded by sharing your life with a confident, balanced, well-mannered pet. If you already have a pet or pets in the home, do your homework, including consulting an animal behaviorist specialist if necessary before bringing a new puppy into a home with existing pets. There are right and wrong ways to introduce a new canine family member to an older dog or cat, and you want to get it right from the start. Also from Dr. Karen Becker at Healthy Pets, nipping puppy biting in the bud. Biting in puppies is a normal, though undesirable, behavior. Puppies often use their mouths for exploration and play, and this behavior can extend to the human family. My biggest concern in these situations is that owners may be using or are being told to use physical correction, like alpha rolls, leash corrections, holding the mouth closed, pinching the tongue, hitting, or tapping the muzzle as a treatment strategy. Using physical correction can cause a fear response and can result in the escalation of your puppy's aggressive behaviors. A better approach is to both address the biting at the time it occurs and prevent biting as an option for the pup. Once you have ruled out any physical abnormalities that could be contributing to the behavior, your approach should include teaching your puppy simple obedience commands from day one, ample play times, frequent short leash walks, and puppy socialization classes. It is often a challenge to convince a new enthusiastic puppy not to bite the hand that feeds him, pets him, and plays with him. Nipping and mouthing is a very common and very normal puppy behavior. When puppies play with each other, they use their mouths, so they tend to do the same thing when they interact with people. This is rarely an aggressive behavior intended to harm you, but it can be a difficult habit to break without some good practical tools in your puppy training tool bag. The worst thing you can do is physically punish your pup for this natural behavior, although many people incorrectly do so. Most normal puppy mouthiness just goes away on its own, regardless of how much or how little puppy parents do to stop it once puppies acquire their adult teeth. Instead of punishment, the use of positive distraction and the encouragement of acceptable behavior are far better approaches, yielding much better results. This article is intended to help you manage puppy nipping effectively, while at the same time helping you build a good relationship with your puppy based on trust rather than on fear. How to tell normal play from problematic aggression? Most puppy play consists of chasing, pouncing, barking, growling, snapping, and biting. So, how can you tell the difference between normal play and true aggression? According to DVM Online Magazine, in normal play, a puppy will play bow, lower his head and raise his hind end, present his front end or side to you, hold the front of his body up, wag his tail, dart back and forth, emit high-pitched barks and growls, and spontaneously play attack. However, behaviors that may indicate early aggression include prolonged deep tone growling, a fixed gaze, a stiff posture, and aggression that is not spontaneous, that is, aggression that is not situational or stimulus dependent. These aggressive behaviors may be related to fear, possessiveness, conflict, or pain. Of course, even normal puppy play can become too intense, and when this happens, you must intervene appropriately. If you have concerns about excessive mouthing or early puppy aggressiveness, consult your veterinarian or a board-certified animal behaviorist. Distraction is the best prevention. Nipping or biting often occurs in puppies when they are being petted or played with. A quick and easy method for redirecting your puppy's attention is offering a more acceptable object to gnaw on, such as a chew toy. At the same time, you start to pet him, One hand offers the toy, while the other hand reaches out to scratch him behind the ear. This helps your pup learn that people and petting are wonderful, and also keeps his mouth busy. Try alternating which hand does the petting and which one offers the chew toy. Remember, the longer he's petted, the more likely he is to get excited and start to nip. So you may need to shorten play sessions, at least initially. Encouraging appropriate play. When your pup does nip you, a good strategy is to imitate what another puppy would do if they were bitten. Make a high-pitched yipping noise or loudly say, "Ouch," and immediately walk away. Ignoring your puppy for a few minutes teaches him that biting you makes you go away, which is an immediate negative reinforcement for the behavior. Then you can return a little later and try playing again. It's generally not a good idea to sit on the floor with your pup for prolonged periods of time. This tends to overexcite puppies and places family members in a vulnerable position, making it more difficult to control the puppy. Here are a few other tips for encouraging appropriate play. Provide plenty of exercise. Your new puppy is a bundle of energy, so give him plenty of discharge outlets. Going on walks is a fantastic way to do this and benefits you with some exercise as well. Short but frequent walks help your pup vent pent-up energy and gives him an appropriate outlet for all that motion. Play, play, play. Playing fetch or kicking a soccer ball around the yard lets him burn off some energy while strengthening your parent-pup bond. Obedience training. Teach and review basic obedience commands early on. Well-trained dogs are more likely to follow orders when misbehaving. And time out. If your puppy won't stop a bad behavior, put him in a room or better yet, in his kennel with toys to keep him busy until he calms down. You are the leader. You can teach your puppy that you are the boss by having him respond to a command such as sit before he gets anything he wants or needs. If he becomes too pushy about getting attention by whining, nudging, etc., pull your hand away and look away. Once he stops soliciting attention for 10 seconds, ask him to sit. Then give him attention and affection. Do not reward annoying or bad behavior. You can also teach him not to move without your permission. Anytime you begin to move from one area of the home to another, use this as an opportunity to ask your pup to sit and stay for a second or two, then give the command to follow you. Be consistent. It is very important that all behaviors be managed consistently by all family members and promote socialization. Exposure to a variety of people and other animals as the puppy grows and develops, especially during the first 4 months, will help prevent asocial behaviors, fears, and biting. What not to do? You should never use physical punishment with a puppy. This includes scruff shakes, alpha rollovers, forcing the puppy to the floor or pinning him down, thumping or swatting his nose, hitting or kicking, pushing his nose into feces as punishment for inappropriate soiling, putting your fingers down his throat, forcibly removing an object from his mouth, choke chains, pinch collars, electric collars, or throw chains, and muzzling. Some pet owners are still using remote training collars out of frustration since they don't know what else to do, but most people are unaware of how powerful these tools are and how easy it is to misuse them. The average pet owner does not use these remote collar devices with the impeccable timing and consistency required to be effective, and they should never be used as punishment devices. A study was done in Germany in 2006 in which dogs were given high-intensity electrical stimulation delivered with poor timing, meaning inconsistently with regard to the dog's behavior. These dogs showed severe and persistent stress symptoms. Therefore, ordinary use of these devices will most likely cause your puppy to grow into a dog that is fearful, aggressive, and asocial. Research has shown that most aggressive dogs are actually fearful rather than attempting to achieve dominance. When physical punishment is used, several things may happen depending on your puppy's temperament and the severity of the punishment. According to the Humane Society, a puppy who is hit or slapped in the face for biting can react in the following ways. Become hand shy and cringe or cower whenever a hand comes toward his face. Become afraid of you and refuse to approach you at all. Respond in a defensive manner and attempt to bite you to defend himself. And interpret a mild slap as an invitation to play, causing him to become more excited and even more likely to nip. Tots and pups. You should carefully monitor all interactions between your children and your dog. It is very difficult for children under the age of 8 or 9 to practice the kind of behavior modification outlined in this article. Your child's first reaction to being nipped is probably to push the puppy away, and this will most likely be interpreted by the puppy as play, causing him to nip and bite even more so. By teaching your puppy good behavior and teaching your children proper interventions, your pup will grow into a well-behaved and happy part of the family. And finally, MP3 players bring anxiety relief to shelter dogs. Music predates language and speaks to us on a primal level, even if there are no words. A melody can make you feel happy or sad, and it's not only humans who appear to have this musical appreciation. Music is a universal language that animals enjoy also. This is backed by accumulating scientific research as well as by efforts like the Rescue Animal MP3 Project. The project, founded by Dr. Pamela Fisher, a holistic veterinarian in northern Canton, Ohio, has brought calming music into more than 1,100 U.S. animal shelters to help lessen anxiety among the animals. It even reduces barking. Music helps calm anxious dogs and more. Dogs detect sounds in a much broader frequency than humans, from a low of 16 to 20 hertz to a high of 100,000 hertz, compared to 20 to 70 hertz, up to 20,000 hertz for humans. They're also capable of moving their ears in ways humans can't, tilting, rotating, and raising, for instance, which helps them to determine a sound's location rapidly, as well as detect sounds from much faster distances, up to fourfold farther than humans can. In many ways, dogs are built for listening, so it's not surprising that music has such dramatic, science-backed effects on them. Among them, classical music calms. In a comparison of different sounds, human conversation, classical music, heavy metal music, pop music, and a control, classical music was the clear winner when played in a rescue shelter. The dogs spent significantly more of their time quiet and resting than when other types of sounds were played, including heavy metal, which led to increased barking. Harp music decreases restlessness and discomfort. Among dogs in a veterinary hospital, harp music led to a decline in respiration rates and other visual measures of discomfort, such as restlessness and anxiety. Classical music reduces environmental stress. Classical music led to reduced stress levels in shelter dogs, as evidenced through assessment of effects on heart rate variability, salivary cortisol, and behavior. Classical music lowers anxiety. Classical music led to kenneled dogs spending more time sleeping and less time vocalizing than when they were exposed to other music types or no music. Heavy metal music, compared with other music types, increased body shaking, which is suggestive of nervousness. It is suggested that playing classical music in a shelter environment may help mitigate some of the stress inherent for many kenneled dogs, the researchers concluded. MP3 players reduced barking by half. The nonprofit Rescue Animal MP3 Project asks artists to donate pet-friendly music and then donates MP3 players packed with about 30 hours of compilations to animal shelters, animal sanctuaries, and clinics. When Fisher surveyed 500 shelters that had been playing the calming music to their residents, barking had been reduced by half and the animals were described as more relaxed. The music benefits dogs and people alike, and one of the goals of the project is to get the animals adopted faster. This works in two ways. The dogs are calmer, which allows more of their real personalities to shine through, and potential adopters also find the experience more favorable. Cats like music too. Your kitty companion also likely enjoys listening to tunes, especially when the music is feline-centric. In a study published in the journal Applied Animal Behavior, the researchers hypothesized that in order for music to be effective for other species, it must be in a frequency range and with similar tempos to those used in natural communication by each species. While dogs would likely enjoy species a specialized canine-centric music, they may be able to appreciate human music more so than cats. Why? Possibly because they have vocal ranges similar to humans, at least among large dogs. Since dogs vary widely in terms of size, vocal range, and heart rate, designing music to appeal to a wide variety of dogs may pose some challenges, but it's relatively easy to determine your dog's favorite tunes. You can experiment at home by softly playing a variety of calming sounds from classical to nature sounds like ocean waves and observing your dog's or cat's reactions. You'll likely find that he responds to the music much like you would, calming down in response to gentle music and getting more agitated if the music is loud and fast. As the article mentions, there is music created specifically for cats, and you can find out more about that at musicforcats.com. I'll try to include some of that in a future episode. For now, I can personally attest to the calming effects of music on my own cats. All of my cats like classical music. My cat Brownie, whom I have described as being a little tightly wound, was obviously calmed by it. When I listened to WXXI on the radio while working at my desk, Brownie would come in, lean against the speaker, and fall asleep, peacefully purring away. She particularly enjoyed the music of Chopin. Seriously. That will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time, and don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.